Please be seated. Our second reading comes from Mark chapter 7. Let us listen together for God's word. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray that you would open your word to us. Help us to hear what it is you want us to hear. Give us eyes to see what you want us to see. And give us the voice to proclaim your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So ordinarily when I preach, I come up with a series, a set of sermons that flow one after the other with an overarching theme. We finished up Jonah at the beginning of August, and I took a couple weeks off, and it seemed sensible to wait until September to start a new series. And so there I was with 2 weeks left in between to choose what to preach on. There's a thing called the Revised Common Lectionary, and this is a set of readings. It's a cycle of 3 years. There are 4 readings for every Sunday. There's an Old Testament, a Psalm or a Proverb, a Gospel reading, and a New Testament. And some preachers, many preachers, will follow this week after week, and I tend to avoid it, partly because it's a little frightening to have a text just land in my lap, and then I have to do something with it. So there's my honest confession to you. These last 2 weeks, we've been looking at 2 passages from Mark that come from the lectionary. These are the selected passages for these 2 weeks. And as I looked at this passage today, I puzzled over why these 2 stories were put together. First, the story of a Gentile woman whose daughter has a demon, and then a story of a man who needs to be healed. They don't seem to be connected, and I almost decided to focus on just one or the other. But the more time that I spent with this, I discovered that when these 2 stories come together, we find the gospel in a nutshell, in miniature. We see here the story of the gospel. We'll start with the first story. If Jesus were running for political office, this little one-liner of his would have lost him the Gentile vote. It's like most healing stories. Someone comes to Jesus with a need, but Mark is setting us up for something different. He tells us that when Jesus enters this town, he didn't want anyone to know he was there. He's trying to hide from people's notice. His notoriety is growing, and he wants to avoid it. He wants some peace and quiet. So he enters a house. He's seeking escape from the crowds, but the woman finds him there. The word spreads. And this Gentile woman, whose daughter has what Mark calls an unclean spirit, finds him and begs him to heal his daughter. Now, you'll remember last week the story that just preceded this one. Jesus is talking with the Pharisees who accuse his disciples of not maintaining proper purity laws. And Jesus tells them what really makes someone unclean. And that it's not the things that come in, such as unclean foods. It's not the things that influence us from outside, such as unclean people. Instead, what makes someone unclean is what comes from the inside. So Jesus has just turned their world upside down about what it means to be clean and unclean. And moments later, as he enters this town, he encounters a woman, a Gentile woman, whose daughter is suffering from an unclean spirit. It's a great opportunity for Jesus to put his money where his mouth is, to practice what he preaches. And his response to this woman, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Let that soak in for a minute. Jesus, the Son of God, love incarnate. Did Jesus really just say that to this woman? Of course, by children, Jesus means the children of Abraham, the people of Israel. And dogs, this is not just serving the metaphor, dogs was a common, we might call it a slur, used to refer to Gentiles. Now, on one level, Jesus is stating what is obvious fact from the way that the gospel narrative plays out. Jesus has a specific vocation, and that vocation is to call to the people of Israel, to the children of Abraham, and to renew the people of Israel. This is Jesus' vocation. This is his focus. This is his call. He understands, and he states explicitly in gentler ways in other places in the gospel, that this is what he came first and foremost to do. But nowhere does that come into such sharp focus as it does here. Now, understandably, interpreters try to soften Jesus' words. They'll say that he was quoting a well-known proverb, but we don't have evidence of that proverb anywhere else. They'll say that Jesus said it with a twinkle in his eye. I don't care how much his eyes were twinkling. I can't imagine that she would take those words very kindly. They say that Jesus uses the Greek diminutive form of the word dog, like he's saying puppy, as if that makes it okay to say what he said. Or they'll say that he was setting the woman up because he knew she was up to it. He knew that she would rise to the occasion and come back with an even better one-liner than Jesus delivered to her. But the best description that I read in preparing this sermon was from a commentator who said this: Jesus was caught with his compassion down. He was caught with his compassion down. Jesus was trying to escape notice. Maybe he was worried that with this growing notoriety, people would confuse him. They would think that he's not a prophet to the people of Israel, but instead he's a traveling miracle worker, a medical missionary, that this is his purpose, to go around and to heal. Maybe he's trying to avoid that sort of notoriety. But the woman's response to him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs," was enough to change Jesus' mind, or at the very least, to change his attitude, to reignite the compassion that he had forgotten, perhaps because he was weary, perhaps because he was worried of how his notoriety was spreading. Whatever the reason, these words spoken to him by this Gentile woman change the story. So Jesus heals her daughter. We'll let that story stand for a moment. We'll move on to the second one. After this episode, Jesus returns toward the Sea of Galilee, toward Jewish territory, out of Gentile territory. And there a man is brought to him who we can only assume to be a Jewish man, because Mark has gone to such great lengths to identify the woman as a Gentile. We can only assume that the man is a Jew. Jesus takes the man aside in private, away from the crowd, and he places his fingers in the man's ears. He spits on the man's tongue, and the man is healed. He looks up to heaven, and he says what is probably Aramaic, "Ephphatha," be opened. That's an even more straightforward story of Jesus healing. But here's where the two stories begin to come together. Here's where that connection becomes important because these two stories have almost nothing in common. And that is exactly the point. In setting these two stories side by side, Mark is setting up an obvious contrast. We have, on the one hand, the most calloused, reluctant healing in all of the Gospels, and on the other, perhaps the most intimate. Jesus does not have to lay hands on a person in order to heal them. We've just seen him heal the daughter of this woman without even going to the home, much less laying hands. And then we have a Jewish man, and Jesus gets up close and personal in healing this man. In telling these two stories, Mark wants to be sure that we are acutely aware of who is being healed, of who we are dealing with in these stories. We have a Gentile woman who is, on two accounts, an outsider. She is a woman and she is a Gentile. And then we have a Jewish man who we might say, on two accounts, is an insider. We have polar opposites in these two stories. Mark wants to make sure that we don't miss that. Now, Mark is writing to a Gentile audience. We know this because in this passage, we see that he translates the Aramaic for us. He, in the previous passage, explains what unclean things are and clean things are. For Jews, they would know this, but Gentiles don't. So Mark is telling the story to a Gentile audience. A Gentile audience who, now remember, Mark's gospel is written probably two generations after Jesus. And so here we have two generations removed Christians, Gentile Christians struggling to navigate the divide between Jews and Gentiles. We know from Paul's letter how difficult a barrier that was for Christians to overcome. And even at the time of the writing of Mark's gospel, this is a major issue. And so perhaps Mark is trying to highlight how hard, in fact, this divide can be to overcome, how significant it is that these Gentiles have been made a part of God's family, not to mention perhaps how human Jesus really was. But ultimately, what cuts across these stories and makes them a snapshot of the gospel, no matter how peculiar they may be, is what Jesus says when he heals the man. When Jesus says, "Be opened. Be opened." Now, there are a lot of ways that we can understand these words, and I think there are many ways that we should understand these words because I think they operate on multiple levels. On one level, of course, his ears and his mouth are opened. The mute, the one who couldn't speak, and the one who was ordered not to speak after he was healed, proclaims the good news. This good news that cannot be contained. No matter how hard Jesus tries, the word spreads. His mouth is opened. On another level, though, we see Jesus embodying in his actions and in his words, Israel's limited assumptions of God's work, Israel's own prejudices. Jesus seems to embody in his actions toward that woman Israel's reluctance to even interact with Gentiles, a man's reluctance even to interact with a woman at that time in history. Jesus is embodying the prejudices of the people of Israel. And then he goes and he has no trouble getting up close and personal with a Jewish man. And so, in these stories that Mark is telling, be it reluctantly, Jesus is being opened to this Gentile woman. Israel is being opened to the Gentile outsiders, to the unclean others. A boundary is crossed when Jesus heals the woman. Silence is broken when Jesus heals the man. The good news that is for Israel, that was always assumed to be just for Israel, that was supposed to be God's work for God's chosen people, this good news has been opened. No longer is it just for the people of Israel. No longer is it just for God's chosen race. But finally, it is for everyone. Jesus calls the Jews children and the Gentiles dogs. But what we know and what we see beginning here is that even these so-called dogs, these Gentiles, these outsiders, will become children. We are Gentiles. We are children of Abraham by adoption, We have been embraced, brought into the family of God. Because of what Jesus has done, we were once the dogs, not the children, and God has made us the children. And so this is the story that we see tying these two strange stories, these two healings together, that even the outsiders will be brought in, that even the unclean and the impure will be called saints. Jesus is being opened. Israel is being opened. The gospel itself is being opened. Jesus embodies our own prejudices, our own temptation to draw lines between ourselves and those who are like us and others who are different. Jesus is embodying our own preference to describe and define people with labels like Jew and Gentile, liberal and conservative, traditional and progressive. So which one of these two are we? Which one of these two are you? Are you the stubborn outsider refusing to let the healer pass without his blessing and his touch? The good news of God has been opened to you and to all. Or are you the stubborn insider, refusing to let the outsider share in the blessing of God? The good news of God has burst beyond the boundaries that we have created to contain it. To all of us, to the deaf who fail to hear the good news, to the mute who fail to speak the good news, to the Gentiles who fail to grasp that God's embrace is big enough for all, to all of us, God says, be open. Let us pray. God, we need to be opened, each and every one of us. We need to be opened to what you are doing and to what you have called us to do and to be as your people. And so open us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.